Am I starting?
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to the Healing Light Show. We're going to be talking with Matthew Ryan Molly today, and he's going to be talking about his encounter with heaven when he passed away. It's going to be an awesome testimony here today. And, you know, I'd like to invite everybody to check out all the things that the Healing Light Ministry has. We have YouTube. We're on Roku. And we're also here on Blog Talk, and just check out all of our stuff. We're preaching the word of the gospel all over the world and praying for the sick. So just check this stuff out and let our ministry and let Lord Jesus use our ministry to touch y'all. and it's an awesome thing to do. But one thing that we do here on the Healing Light Ministry, we just really reach out to people that's wanting healing, that's wanting a touch from the Lord, is wanting to be brought to the Lord. And that's what we do here. And we also promote the power of God. There's a lot of people who don't know about the power of God, and they ain't heard a lot about heaven or supernatural things. And that's what we do here. We show you that heaven's real. We show you that the power of God's real. We show you that Jesus is real. It's just not, he's just not something or a story and a character in a book. It's that he's actually a real person. He's actually risen from the dead, and he's actually here for us. So that's one thing that we do here on the Healing Light Show, is show you that the Bible is real. The power of God is real, and Jesus is real, and he's for you. So, Matthew, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, brother. You?
Doing pretty good, man. Can't wait to hear your story. Matt, where are you from?
I'm from Orange Park, Florida.
Amen, amen. How's the weather down there?
It's pretty beautiful, man. It's times where it's hot. There's times where it's nice and cool, but it's hot right now.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We're getting a lot of rain down here this week, but it's good to be in that wonderful weather down in Florida. Matt, I'd like to ask you, can you give us your testimony, man?
Yes, sir. So I guess I don't know where to really start, but I can start. I guess I can share my BC before, but then going more so, and it will go translating. Anyways, I gave my life to the Lord when I was 17. It was about 3 years ago. I'm 20 now, so it gives you some insight into where I'm at in my walk with the Lord. But before I came to Christ, I grew up in a very broken, dysfunctional home. I didn't grow up in what they would call a loving family, or what they would call, normal-looking family, I guess, is what people would call it, or people that have a normal family, whatever that looks like. But anyways, I grew up without a father. I grew up broken, very, very unloved. I grew up neglected without my mother being there. She was there, but she wasn't there in the emotional sense. Same with I've gone through physical abuse, emotional abuse, even verbal, even mental abuse as well throughout my childhood. But sexually touched at a very young age. One of the things, I guess, leading up to my decision with the Lord was I was 17. I was living in sin. You know, I was addicted to porn for a very long time, about 7 years. And one of the things leading up to it was it was in October of 2013. And my older sister, she was taking me home, or not taking me home, but she was taking me to work. And I was up in West Virginia at the time, and working at McDonald's. And I go down to work, and as we're going down, a car comes up out of nowhere, and just we collide, both cars. And I have this random thought about going to church. Now, I'll remind you, I didn't want to go to church. I was not a church kid. I didn't grow up in church, and I hated God, to be honest with you. And I had these thoughts come to my mind. You need to go to church. And at the time now, I believe that voice is the Lord telling me to go to church, because that wasn't in my thoughts. But anyways, I ended up going to church when I was 17, and it was called the Rock Church in Parkersburg, West Virginia. And the pastor of that church is David, not Cuppet, but David. Man, I'm trying to think of the last name. Anyways, his name's David. First name's David. Anyway, Pastor David was in the church, and he was just preaching this powerful word. His Holy Spirit was this, and you can just feel that God was there, and I could feel him. And I just started just weeping, just confronting my sin, confronting me that, you know, adulterers don't go to heaven. He's just saying, you know, you look a woman less intent, and he says, you know, that's sin. And then he, you know, was preaching all other things other than that, but he just really started hitting on me. The conviction of the Holy Spirit fell on me, and I started just crying and just bawling my eyes out before the Lord. And I remember hearing his voice clear as day, which I believe it's the Lord's voice, say to me that he's a father to the fatherless. And he began to say, I'm going to father you, and I've waited for so long to love you, because I loved you before I even formed you in your mother's womb, and now I love you even so. I love you. And he just said that to me, and he said he was my father. And I began to just cry even more. And I was like, who is this to tell me he's my father? And I remember hearing that voice say, I am who I am. I am the Son of the living God. And I remember just like, whoa, you know, mind blown, you know, like, this is God speaking to me. And then just a personal encounter with the Lord, and I gave my life to him. And then I got filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues after that. But so leading up to that, so after about a year of my walk with the Lord, I was growing in him. He was maturing me, and I'm still maturing. I mean, I'm not perfect. Don't get me wrong. I'm very weak, and I'm still learning as I go with this walk and journey with the Lord. But one of the things, so about a year into my walk with the V18, I was serving. I moved away from West Virginia, and leading up to that, I graduated in Orange Park in Florida, Orange Park High School. And then as I was going here in Orange Park, Florida, before I moved here, the Lord gave me a promise before I moved to Florida. He said to me that he would lead me to a lot of people. A lot of people would come to Christ. You know, all these great things that he promises. And he also promised me that, you know, he'd keep me faithful to him or whatever. And anyways, I'm sitting there not wanting to go to Florida. And that's the catch. I was like fighting God not to go to Florida. And anyways, he had another purpose, another plan for that. But one of the things that I remember I was reading the Bible one day, and I was like going into prayer. I was like, Lord, I want to do something great for you in Florida. I want to do something spectacular. And one of the things the Lord said to me, spoke back to me, he said, you know, you want to do something great, but yet you don't want to do something small. And then he said, the small thing is what I'm looking for, which will be the greater thing, and that's serving your peers. And I began to, like, pride begin to, like, choke. I began to eat up my words and then eat that pride. And then the Lord humbled me to look at Scripture, and it was in Matthew or one of the four Gospels where Jesus says, you know, where the parable where Jesus teaching the disciples, he's saying, you know, he's telling them, you know, the disciples are fighting amongst themselves, who's the greater? And Jesus says, you know, it's the least of you. It's the least that he pretty much counts as the greater or something like that.
Amen.
I don't know, but it's something that Jesus says along the lines. And I'm sitting there like, whoa, you're telling me I got to serve my peers right now? I'm not going to serve them.
Yeah.
You know, like, my pride's fighting God. And
That's awesome, Matt. That's awesome, Matthew. We're gonna go into a song right quick, and we'll be right back with his testimony about heaven. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Daughters and our sons.
That's Audio Adrenaline with Kings and Queens, and we're here back with Matthew Ryan. Matthew, now I think you left off with your testimony. Could you tell us about your story about when you got to go to heaven?
Yeah, sure. I thought about that last time, but okay. So July 6th, 2015. I was actually on that day. I was going up to the church to going up to the church to help out my youth pastor at the time, which his name was Pastor Owen. And anyways, as I was going up there, he wasn't there obviously because he had to go to youth retreat, and obviously I had to stay back because I had work, and I had to work at Olive Garden at the time, or was going to be. Little did I know what would happen next, but. July 6th of 2015, I was actually running on foot that day, and it was my normal running route. I was a cross-country runner, and just, I love to run. And so I began to run, and before I ran, of course, I was praying and just prayed before God before I ran. Anyways, I go to the stopping point where I was supposed to stop and, wait for the walking man, and as I was waiting there, didn't think of anything much, just looked both ways like I usually did. And then as I had the walking man and didn't see a car at all, and a car came out of nowhere and hit me at 70 miles an hour on foot. And I was actually dragged on foot, just dragged by the car, the guy who hit me. And the car actually stopped, and I flew off the car about a good bit, and I might make a joke out of it and I say I flew like Superman, but I just flew, and I landed on the ground and actually was left for dead. I was just laying there, and all these thoughts came to mind at the same moment.
Let me stop you right there, Matt. So you was actually running, you was jogging, doing your daily jog, and you was coming down the road, and you came to a stoplight with the little box with the running man to let you know to run. And as soon as you started, a car hit you, and it hit you so hard you flew through the air, is what you're saying.
Well, it hit. I was hit, but then I was dragged for a little bit, and then I was flown off the car because
man.
It stopped. So, yeah.
Man.
So, I actually have scars where the marks are, where the, on my hands, where the skin marks are from that. But anyways, one of the things that I was laying there, I didn't have any fear. I mean, I had a thought in my mind, well, what just happened? What in the world? Going through my mind. And then I just had all this supernatural peace just come over me. It wasn't a fear. I had no fear of death, as I knew that God in me, which being Jesus, had overcame it in me. And so I was right in that moment, just not afraid. I knew where I was going. And plus, I knew Jesus intimately. There's a difference between knowing Jesus and just saying you believe. And then one of the things I began to, because I knew him intimately. I didn't just say I believed. I literally sat with the Lord. The Lord spoke to me. I let him deal with my heart. I let him love on me. I let him care for me. And then attend to my heart and deal with it. And he changed me. It wasn't like me just saying it once, one repentant prayer. It was actually me going to God daily in repentance for him to change me and give me fruit. Anyways, I was laying there and just laying it, and had all this peace come over me. And just no matter what, if I were to close my eyes, I knew where I was going. And anyways, as I actually was, the ambulance came and everything, put me on a stretcher to go to the hospital, which would be at Shands. I couldn't keep my eyes open any longer. My body was shutting down. I was in complete shock, my whole body. And the doctors or the whatever you call it, EMTs rather, the EMTs were in the, they're sitting there saying, don't close your eyes. Whatever you do, not close your eyes. And I just couldn't hold them open any longer. I just closed my eyes and I just passed away for about 5 minutes. That's what people said afterwards. My doctor said once they got me to the emergency room, they shocked me back to life. But I was outside of my body, spiritually speaking, and I remember when I was outside my body, a white horse appeared in front of me, and a white horse just appeared in front of me, and scripture goes with that, and you go to Revelation 19, it kind of talks about the white horse, but how God's control of the angel armies. But other than that, just a white horse appeared in front of me with an angel right beside it. And one of the angels actually spoke to me and said, you know, it's time for judgment in the house of God. And he said, the last shall be first, and the first shall be last. If you want to lose, you will be first to be judged. So do not be afraid. And then, anyways, I wasn't afraid. You know, he's pretty much just giving me whatever. But anyways, he took me up on the horse, went up to the line, whatever, and waited for God to, you know, draw me into the judgment room. Anyways, there was a, as I walked in, there was this white, beautiful judgment room. Man, it was awesome. And just so awesome. It was all scriptural. I mean, on the front of it, I mean, and when I walked in, there was this light, a stand where Jesus would sit by the right side of the Father. There is 12 seats next to Jesus where the disciples would judge as well. But the Bible says, you know, Jesus said that he would allow the disciples to judge as well. Anyways, there was those seats, but no one was in those seats. No one was in any seat. No one was even there. And I was like, and in my spirit, I was like, well, where's the Lord? And I spoke that out of my spirit, and out of nowhere, I was turned around. The voice said, "Turn around, my son. I'm right here. I am in front of you." And then I turned around, and it was Jesus. He has eyes like fire, and it was this eyes like fire. It was nothing. It's all scriptural. So you go to Revelation 19. Jesus has eyes like fire. It didn't say like you would have blue eyes. It didn't say you have blonde hair. He didn't say any of that in the Bible, because that's so what we picture as Jesus in America, and that's so false. But anyways, he had eyes like fire, and there's a crown on his head. It wasn't a crown of thorns. It was actually a crown of righteousness. And he had kings of kings, little lords written on his side. He had a blood stain on the stain as well, which was, I guess, where it said the word of God, the written word of God, Lamb of God, whatever. And then he had, so amazing, so beautiful. And I was just crying as I was seeing it. And then the Holy Spirit, being Jesus, just came up in front of me and just started wiping away my tears and said, there's no tears here in heaven. And I said, I started to just rejoice. And then he said to me, it's not your time though. Your time came too quick. And he said, but know and take heart, you're going to have much suffering, but know and take heart that I've overcome the world for you. And then, which goes back to John 16:33, and I began to just go back to my body, because that's what the Lord sent me back, because it wasn't my time. It wasn't even my time, I guess, to die. I guess the enemy was trying to take me out before time. But anyways, and he sent me back, as I was sitting back, in my mind, I knew what was what I had to go through, but at the same time, I didn't want to go through it, if that makes sense, like through all the suffering that was about to take place. It was like the darkest season of my life. It was the worst season, the season that I didn't want to go through. But what I learned is in your season that you do not want to go through is the season that God has for you to prepare you to have character in your heart with him. And it's also a season where, even though you don't want to go through it, it's a season where you draw not only closer to the Lord, but more intimate. And it's like this, and I was in isolation, because, I mean, I was isolated. No one was... I mean, all I had was nurses and some people, some of my family, but my family hardly visited. My friends hardly visited. And what I learned from that was, in your most difficult season of isolation is your season of the most revelation. And I'm just being honest. I mean, in the midst of that, I mean, all I had was God. I'm just being honest. And if I was honest with you as well, I mean, I was laid out on the, you know, had a total of 17 surgeries and during that time and that time frame. And I remember laying on the, you know, bed as well, the hospital bed, in the beginning stages of what they had to take me through to, you know, get my body to be normal or whatever, to reinstruct everything, because my body was actually, I had broken bones throughout my whole body. And anyways, I remember just the doctor coming in that day, huh?
Yeah, Matt, let me stop you right there, okay? I want to rewind just a little bit, okay? I want to rewind to right there when you're with Jesus Christ and you're in that throne room. Let us kind of know what it looked like in there. I mean, don't worry about throwing all this biblical stuff in there. Just what you saw. I want you to explain what you saw, if you can remember what you saw while you was there.
All right. Yeah. Well, I remember what I saw was just going into the room, and it was just so vibrant color, just it was light. and so vibrant, man. It's beautiful. I mean, nothing like you ever see on Earth. And then just it's gorgeous. I mean, and then I walk in, and there's just these, like, it's like a, I don't know how to say it, but like a colon. Like, you know, like these Roman colonies have like all those architecture, you know,
pillars,
like
pillars to the building.
Yeah, like pillars. Yeah, yeah, like that.
And yeah.
It was so beautiful. It was just like that, but even more beautiful. And it was so like you couldn't really describe it, but it's just like the architect into the building was so perfect. Like there's no imperfection in the building, like itself. I mean, it was so cool. And then it was so beautiful. And dude. It had brown, there's this like goldish brown, you know, stand, obviously, where I guess Jesus would stand, and it was on the right side of the Father, which was just like, there's this book as well, there's like this big book on the stand, not where Jesus would stand, but where the, I guess where the Father would sit, and there was this big book, I guess it would be the Book of Life, that's why I would imagine it would be, of course I couldn't get back there to see it, but, you know, but, it was so beautiful, and, dude, it was so cool. And there was, on the 12 chairs where the disciples would sit, there's, the chairs were just, like, I don't know how to describe it. Just, it's kind of hard to describe, to be honest with you, but it's just, the chairs are just so big, and like, it was really cool, but at the same time, they're so big, yet so articulated in a way that you can't imagine. I just don't know how to describe it. It's so hard to describe it, I'm just being honest, but,
was the people that were sitting in these chairs, were they humongous people or just normal sized people?
No, they were normal sized people. They were like, you know, giants. They're just, you know, normal sized, people. They're like, you know, maybe in between 6 foot to 5'6" or even taller than that. Some of them could be 6 foot taller, but, you know, it wasn't like I was. It's not like they're like some gigantic people, you know.
Yeah.
They're just like us.
That's awesome. Now, did you see angels in there while you was in there?
I did not. I did not see angels while I was in there. They were just the Lord, pretty much, just Jesus. After I turned around, but I heard that still small voice tell me to turn around. So.
Did you get to see any of heaven or just the courtroom?
Well, I did get to see the other parts of heaven. There was different parts. Because before he sent me back to my body, I did see some other things. Things that are just, they're so awesome. I remember actually Jesus taking me out of the courtroom and he said, you know, just walk with me. Let's go look around at some things. And then I'm sitting there like, this is awesome. You know, like, oh yeah, this is so cool. Yeah, awesome. I get to see some cool things. So I'm just walking around, and then I see out this in the cloud. There's just like this cloud, just like someone playing with a harp or a lure, or to be called. And I imagine to be David. And I'm not saying it was David, but just someone was singing to the Lord just on a lure with a harp and just singing to God. And I was like, this is so awesome. This, you know, it was awesome. You could hear the praise music. You could hear angels singing to the Lord. You could hear, you know, choirs of angels. You could hear, it was so just gorgeous. It was so beautiful. And then I was walking around, it was so cool, man. It was just awesome. And then, just walking around, there's vibrant colors all around. There's different kind of colors. There was, you know, blue, there was, you know, red, there was green, even. It was so awesome. There was like yellow, there was gold. It was awesome. And then, it's just so hard to describe. I'm trying to remember everything, but it's so hard. But now,
was Jesus Christ a white man or was he Jewish?
He was Hebrew.
He was Hebrew. Okay, so what did
he
look like?
Other...
So what did he look like to you when you saw him?
He was Hebrew, so he was a mixture of what you would see, like a Arab person coming in to America, like that type of skin color. He wasn't white. No, he wasn't white at all. He wasn't black. He wasn't white. He was Hebrew. And he was Jewish. So, I mean, those type of colors.
So if you would go to Israel and you look at the native people, he would look just like them?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I had a vision of Jesus one time that he had a longer nose, he had a darker tan skin, and he had like dark hair, darker hair. Was it something like that? But, huh?
Yeah, it was something like that.
Okay. But you said he had white hair at that time, right?
Yeah, he had white lavish hair. Like, because the Bible says he has white lavish hair, so he did have white lavish hair when I saw him, too.
Okay. Well, I saw him with dark... When I had a vision of him, I saw him when he was here on Earth. So he had, you know, Hebrew hair at that time, but if he... When he's in heaven, I guess he would be in heavenly form, so it would be a different situation. So that's what I was just trying to get, because everybody thinks Jesus is white, and he's not white.
No, he's not. He's not, that's for sure.
Yeah, but it's, you know, we have a American Jesus, but Jesus is an Israelite, and, you know, we got a Jewish Jesus. That's what he really is, and but he came for the whole world, and that's pretty unique. Now, when you got out of the courts and you said he started walking you around, did he take you outside? Did you see the trees or whatever is around there? What did you see outside
there?
Yeah,
there was trees. No, there was trees. There was trees around. There was fruits on the trees. It was awesome. It was creation in itself, but in a beautiful and heavenly way that's perfect, you know? And it was so just cool, man. There's trees that were, you know, 8 foot, 12 foot tall, even sometimes 16 foot tall. I mean, there's different kind of trees. There is on those trees, there's like apples, there's fruit on the trees. I mean, it was just awesome, man. It was like, you know, it was just cool. And then there's streams of water. There was water, oceans even. I mean, it was cool.
That's awesome, man. Now, tell me something specific that stands out to you when you was looking around heaven.
Yeah, dude, what stood out to me was just the beauty of it. I mean, just looking at everything that it's perfect. I mean, there's no imperfection in it. I mean, there's just life. There's no death. There's full life in it. There's full harvest all around. You saw there's like this harvest everywhere. There's plants or flowers. I mean, but one of the main things that really stuck out to me was hearing the angels sing. I mean, that was like just making you want to just join in, you know, like, there's just hearing the angels sing, hearing just people sing to God 24/7. Even there's I even heard, you know, the sermon where they would say, "Holy, holy is the Lamb God Almighty, who is and is and was to come." And I'm sitting there hearing that song being played, and, you know, it was really cool. And then,
Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Now, what happened when you came back from heaven?
Well, I mean, just breathed on me, and I just, my spirit went back into my body. I can't describe that, but just went back into my body. I mean, they re-shocked me back to life, the doctors. So, I mean, my body's, it didn't, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, when you come out of your body, it doesn't hurt. There's no difference. It's just you're in your spirit form, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome, man. Now, how has this experience enriched you in your life today?
And how's it enriched me? It's driven me in a place where I have more of a reverence, more of a fear of the Lord in my life, more of a intimate relationship. Now, I had an intimate relationship with the Lord beforehand, but it's even drawn it even more deeper than that, like closer. Where I don't want to miss out on the places where God has me or where I'm at with him, if that makes sense.
Amen. Now, after this event, has your life been different? Have you been able to see the Lord more? Have you been able to see angels more, or your prayers are stronger? Is there any difference?
There is a difference. My prayers are more stronger, my prayers aren't weak. Like, it's like I even pray things that people wouldn't even want to pray. Like, I'll pray some awful stuff. There's been times where I prayed in tongues or afterwards after I'm praying in English. I'll pray, like, some murderous stuff, man. Like, I'll be like, Lord, I pray you slaughter them. Lord, I pray you slaughter them to a place of love and intimacy. I'll just pray, like, things that are random off the ball. I say, Lord, slaughter them like sluts. I'm just being honest. I mean, I'll just be honest with my prayer life. I'll say things that you wouldn't want to say, but, you know, it's okay to say. I don't think God's going to strike you dead for saying some things. But, anyways, I'll just be honest. I mean, the other things that have changed me is just being transparent with God. It's just like with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They had a transparency with the Lord. They had more of a relationship. They didn't, like, they had faith, but they had a relationship in the faith. They had honesty with the Lord, and that's what has really helped me see things differently, where I'm more honest with God. I'm more transparent with Him about things that I don't want to go through, or unforgiveness, or bitterness in my life, or just anything, and He'll draw me close to Him to forgive or to understand things differently. And but I haven't seen angels, you know. Well, I will say this. I have seen some things pretty cool, but, I mean, it's not like, it's not, I mean, I believe I've seen an angel before come up to me, but, you know, and, you know, just, that's it, you know, but other than that, there's no, like, you know, all this, you know, demons are coming, there's none of that stuff, but, you know, I mean, you know, part of the, I guess that's what I saw and stuff.
Yeah, I know, when Jonah, tried to run away from God a lot, where he didn't have to go to Nineveh and, you know, really tell them what God was wanting them to know about, you know, He was going to destroy their land if they didn't change their evil ways. And after Jonah went and finally prophesied to them and told them, you know, if you don't change your ways, that, you know, God is going to destroy your land. And after he did that, they repented and changed their ways. And it kind of made Jonah really ticked off at God because he didn't destroy them. They're such evil people. They need to be destroyed, but God forgave them. And I'm pretty sure Jonah was very, very up and personal with God and told him, you know, hey, why didn't you do this? But he did promise them if they would change their minds, repent, which means change your mind, he would forgive them. And he did. He did what he said. God's good with his word. So that's, you know, that's the big, big thing about having a personal relationship with the Lord, is that you talk to Him like you're talking to your father or you're talking to your brother. You have that passionate relationship with Him where you can tell Him your heart. Now, you have respect when you do that because you are talking to God, but you do share your heart, how you really see things. And, you know, I've had that myself, you know, when I'm having a bad day and I'm like, God, why did that happen? You know, or, man, that, you know, I did something stupid. Why did I do it? You know, stuff like that. You just telling God, you know, hey, you know, you're having a bad day. You're talking to Him. He, you're sharing your heart with Him, how you really feel. You're not getting all religious, like, oh God, please forget, you know, that you're being real with God. And that's personal relationship. That's a personal relationship. That's the difference between a religious person and somebody actually has a personal relationship.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
But I understood when you said that. I mean, some people might have been a little shocked when you said that, but you know, when you're opening your heart to the Lord and you're telling Him everything you think and everything that you feel, He knows you personally and He understands you, and a lot of people don't understand that. Yep.
That's good. I mean, that's where, I mean, even if you don't mind me sharing, but even after the fact of everything, me being brought back to my body, I mean, dude, I went through hell. I'm just going to be real with it. I mean, dark season was the worst. I mean, just being honest, it was the worst season of my life. I was left there alone. Didn't feel like anyone was there. I knew God was there, but at the same time, in the midst of my rejection, in the midst of my fears, and what I was being told, they were even telling me I wouldn't walk again. They're telling me the doctors were. They're telling me, you know, all these things that no one wants to hear. They're telling me all this craziness. And I remember just grabbing my Bible, just grabbed it, grabbed a hold of just a verse that when I was reading, or I was going to Psalms, because they're telling me that they're cut off. They're about to cut off my legs, and I'm like, whoa, oh, hold on now. So I go into a place of this prayer, and I go into reading Psalms 20, verse 7, which says, some trust in horses, some trust in chariots, but I will trust in the Lord our God, or even my God, I would say. And I mean, we're just reading that scripture, and I just holding on to it, and I said, you know, Lord, and I had this revelation, you know, my horses right now are the doctors, my chariots are what people are saying, but God, I don't want to trust in what man is saying, I want to trust in what the Lord has to say. And I remember just going into the Lord, just like, Lord, here's my fear. And I had been to break down and just say, my fear is I'm about to lose my legs. And God, I'm being honest with you, I don't want to lose my legs. My legs are what keeps me going, it keeps me walking, it keeps me working. And if I lose my legs, Lord, I won't be able to work, I won't be able to make money, I don't know how money would even come in. You know, all these thoughts were just going through my mind, all the doubts, like, God, I don't know how you're going to come through. But your word says to trust in you. So how can I trust in you without giving this to you, you know, like, you got to give things to God so you can trust him, so you can receive what he has to say to you. And I remember just going into that place, just, and then just going to God, just waiting for what he has to say, breaking down my I had an anguish, I had tears pouring down my face, just, I had this deep anguish in my heart, just waiting for the voice of God, no matter what. I just kept praying. I was like, Lord, just heal me now, whatever you do, make a way where there seems to be no way. The same things off the wall. I didn't know what the hell I was praying. And just, dude, it was awesome. And then the Holy Spirit, in the midst of everything, spoke so clearly to me. He said, just trust me. And then he said, I'm going to restore you. And he gave me this promise. He said, he was going to restore me in less than a year. And I was like, whoa, you know, wait, you're going to restore me in how long? Like, less than a year? God, how is that? You know, my doubt was like, how is that possible? And then God kept giving me. And then he confronted me. He said, and then he said to me, you know, why are you doubting? I mean, do you not have faith to know what I can do? Because he said, what's impossible to man is not impossible to God. It says in scripture. And I'm sitting there like, well, you're right. And then I just repent for my doubt and my belief. And Lord just tell me to. And immediately I just had this full assurance of faith what he said. Now, I didn't see it, but I had a hope in what God had told me. I had a hope in something that I was unseen. Faith the unseen. I had a hope in what this promise was. And it was going to carry me through my wilderness, to carry me through my darkest season. And my hope, and every time when I had doubts, when the doctors finally came in that next morning there, by the way, and the next morning they come into the emergency room or whatever, and they said, well, we found another way to keep your legs. And I was like, I was just voicing, you know, you can imagine. And at the same time, you know, it's like, oh, crap, they got to take me through another surgery, you know, one of those things. But they put skin grafts on my legs and all that stuff, where they gloved a part of my muscle on my calf and put that muscle on patches of my skin where what I lost, because I lost a lot of muscle, I lost a lot of leg and, you know, skin, because that's how bad the road rash was and everything. Anyways, and they did that, and so I was able to keep my legs. But later on, I mean, I was going through physical therapy and, you know, trying to walk again, and it was hard, man. I couldn't walk for a whole year almost, it seemed like, but it wasn't a year, it was actually less than a year. That was a cool thing. And so, anyways, I go into these moments and of doubt when the enemy would attack me, and I'd be like, you know what? No, my God gave me that. I kept remembering. I wrote it down in the journal. And it's at home. It's in my old, one of my old journals that I used to write in. It's at home because I just keep things that God tells me, or I keep things that he has promised me. And anyways, I just wrote it down and I stuffed it away. And I remember every day when I had those thoughts of doubt, I would look back at what God's promised me. And it would assure my faith even more. And through my times of going to physical therapy, and because I have moments like, man, how am I going to walk? How am I going to get through this? I want to just walk now, you know? But anyways, and during that time, and it was, I got on my wheelchair probably in March of 2016. And so in April of 2016, I began to walk without crutches, and I began to walk on foot. And it was like that promise was fulfilled. Restored in less than a year. You want to talk about that? Then in July, of that year before the sixth, I got a job. And then after that, I just went on to move on to the church because now I work at a church. But, you know, and I'm going to ministry school to be a youth pastor someday. And, dude, I'm going after that. And, dude, it's been a blessing. And then same time, it's been, you know, difficulty at the same time, but it's been a blessing.
So. Amen. Amen. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. I like the, you know, anybody's listening that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, I just give you this time to allow the Lord into your heart. If you're at that point right now and you just really feel that you want to know that you're going to go to heaven today if you pass away, and you know that you ain't going to go to hell, you know. It's always one or the other. You go up or you go down. You know, we hear all this New Agey stuff where it says, oh, you're going to be in the light. No, you're going to go up or you're going to go down. And everybody's going to have judgment, just the way it's going to be. And when you have Jesus on your side, it always turns out real good. So if you invite the Lord Jesus into your heart, He'll come and live there for eternity. As long as you're here on earth, and even after you leave earth, He will be with you. He promises that. That's why He died on the cross. He died on the cross to pay for all those sins that you've done, all the sins that you'll ever do. He paid for that. He paid for all those sins, all the sicknesses, all of that. He paid for that. Once you receive Him in your heart, you receive everything He paid for, and you don't have to go through the suffering that He went through. You just receive a free gift from Him. And that's like the biggest free gift that anybody could ever get is eternity. I mean, just think, eternity free, just accepting the Son of God. It's very easy. And if you would like to accept the Son of God, Lord Jesus Christ, into your heart, just say this prayer with me tonight. Just say, Lord Jesus, I accept You as my Lord and Savior in my heart. Lord Jesus, I repent for all the sins that I've ever done, and I hand them to You in Your cross, Lord Jesus. Lord, I believe that You died on the cross for me that day. I believe that You rose on the third day for me, Lord Jesus. And I believe that You're my Lord and Savior, and I ask You to come inside of my heart for now and eternity. I ask You just to stay with me, Lord. And just live in my life for eternity. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. If you just said this prayer, the Lord Jesus has just came into your heart. And He'll always be with you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And I do ask you to go to a local church, a Bible-believing church, and get baptized. I do believe in that. But and also find a Bible-believing church that teaches the Word of God. And I always like to do this in any show that I do to invite people to Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Matthew, I'd like to ask you something else. Now, since you've had that experience, and what have you shared with your family? What does your family think about your experience?
My family, they think about the experience, they kind of just, they're okay with it, if that makes sense. They don't really, you know, like, it's not they don't believe. They do, but they just, they're not really saved, I'm just being honest with you. But they're, God's working on their heart. My mom recently has been really getting convicted. So is my older sister. Where my older sister now, she's saved, and she actually, I believe, gave her life back to the Lord here recently. And she was doing drugs for a while, but now she's not. God's really doing a work in her. But they don't really, what they think of it, they think it's cool. I don't know how to really say it, but they really think it's awesome, I guess.
That's great, man. That's great. I believe you're going to be the rock in the family. I believe that you're going to be the solid rock. It's going to really guide everybody in your family to the Lord. And the biggest thing is that being a rock, you have to watch your life. You got to live correctly, because you're on the watch. They're watching you close. They're watching you closely to see if you're going to mess up. So that's the biggest thing. When you have one family member that's the only one saved and nobody else is, they're going to make sure that they watch you closely. And when you come through for them, then you'll bring all of them home to the Lord. It's pretty awesome. But this was an awesome testimony, Matthew, and I'm glad you got to share that today.
Yeah, man, anytime. Thank you for having me on the show. It's been a privilege, and it's all Jesus in the end, man.
Yes, it's awesome, man. It's awesome. And I would like to ask anybody that's got any problems, any sickness, I'd like to pray for the sick at the end of the show. If you have any problems, just put your hand on this problem. I mean, if you got a stomach ache, got a hurt leg, just lay your hand on that pain right now, and I'm going to go ahead and pray for you. In Jesus' name, I command all pains to leave. I command all bones to be mended. I command all muscles and tendons to be made whole now in Jesus' name. I command families to be mended back together. I command situations in relationships to go away. I command these situations to go away in Jesus' name. And I command harmony back into these relationships. I command migraines to leave. I feel people have migraines. I command the spirit of migraine to leave in Jesus' name. I command peace to their mind, peace to their body now in Jesus' name. I really feel somebody has pain, a pain in their foot, and I command the muscles and the bones and the foot to be made whole now in Jesus' name. I command all pain to leave the feet. I command all muscles to be made whole, all bone to be made whole, all tendons in the foot to be made whole now in Jesus' name. I was feeling somebody has a hurt left leg, it could be, and I command all muscles to be made whole. I command the knee to be made whole, all bones and the muscles to be mended together and made whole now in Jesus' name. I'm feeling somebody's right hand is having issues too. I command all pain to leave the right hand. I command all bones in that hand to be mended back together in Jesus' name. I command all muscles to be mended back together and all tissue to be made whole now in Jesus' name. Command all pain to leave. I command all migraine headaches, spirit migraine and pain. I bind and rebuke all of you in Jesus' name. I command you to leave these people now. And I also would like to pray for anybody that's not received the Holy Spirit. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I ask you to say this prayer along with me right now. And open your hands out like you're receiving, like you want to receive something. And I'm just going to go ahead and pray for you. Just say in Jesus' name. Say in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I repent for all that I've done in my life. I repent and I hand it to you. Lord Jesus, I ask you to baptize me with the fire and the power of the Holy Spirit as you did the 12 disciples in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And I also say this, say, Lord Jesus, remove my heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh and fill my belly with rivers of living water in Jesus' name. Just fill my belly with rivers of living water. Just keep your hands open at this time. In Jesus' name, Father God, I ask you just to fill these people with the Holy Spirit. Now I command this fire to come upon them now in Jesus' name. I command this fire to come upon them now in Jesus' name. I command fire to come upon these guys now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, just fill them up. Fill them up, 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 fill them up in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, just fill them up right now in Jesus' name. I command the fire of the Holy Spirit to come upon them now. Fire of the Holy Spirit come upon them now. I command the fire of the Holy Spirit come upon them now. I command them be completely filled up the Holy Spirit now in Jesus' name. Just come upon them now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to thank you again, Matt, for coming on the show. And we'll have you on here again sometime, Matthew.
All right, sounds good, brother. Thanks.
It's awesome, man. And we'll see everybody again next time. God bless every one of you. And check us out on Facebook on the Healing Light Ministries. And if you do have Roku, check out the Healing Light channel. We have over 17 ministries teaching how to walk in the power of God and praying for the sick. We'll see you next time. God bless you.
Break of day, you stole my heart away. Now I belong to you forever. You danced and shouted over me. You love the raging.